Well, this one, the ones that are up, we can't. The House Committee on Revenue for April 26, 2017 will come to order. Colleagues and citizens, I simply will note that the House was in session a few minutes after 1 today because of a long debate on a bill. And so we took a short lunch break, and we're hoping we're going to finish our business in an hour because we go back on the floor at 3 o'clock. So we're going to start today, assuming they're over here. We're going to start today with House Bill 3338, which has to do with the posting of tax information at gas stations. Who has that one? Mazin? Give us the short version, please. And my understanding is that all this bill really does is move the jurisdiction to do this posting from one agency to a different agency.
Yes, sir.
Maybe while he's getting ready, why don't you tell us what the bill does?
All right. Well, you just about covered it, Mr. Chair. My name is Dallas Hurd, House District 2, Roseburg and Douglas County area primarily. Here in support of House Bill 3338, passed unanimously out of your House Ag and Natural Resources Committee. It's a very simple bill, just an efficiency technical fix. We're simply transferring the authority of enforcement from we worked closely with both agencies that were involved to get their involvement in this. No one seemed to have an issue with it. It simply is going to take the authority away from DOJ and transfer it to Weights and Measures. Simply hanging the sign that says this is what you're paying in local, state, and federal fuel taxes. It's existing statute, and that's just basically a cleanup efficiency bill. Okay. Weights and Measures, so the committee members know, visits every fuel station in Oregon at least once a year. DOJ.
And what do they do there?
I think they check primarily for like the stickers, like 10% ethanol, making sure your fuel pumps are accurate, that kind of stuff.
And when it says a gallon, it actually is a gallon.
Exactly. So I mean, it's a very, you know, it's a very good fit.
All right. Did he miss anything?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Any questions for Representative Marsh, please?
Thank you, Chair. Rep. Hurd, welcome.
Thank you.
There looked like there was an amendment that passed regarding the fine levels.
So my staff is here to correct me if I mess up here, but as I understand it, it's not changing the fine levels. It's simply giving proper authority to Weights and Measures to enforce current
statute. Oh, is that the case?
Yes.
Okay. That helps.
And I've been double, triple checking that. And
is that correct, Jameson?
So there you go.
Okay.
I didn't mess up.
And that's the essence of lines 15 and 16. Is it?
I believe so.
Allowing them to adopt rules.
Right.
And enforce
yes.
the section. Right. And Weights and Measures is a subset of Department of Agriculture.
Yes.
Thank you. That's helpful information. Anything else? Is there anyone else who wants to be heard on this bill? With that, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3338 and open a public hearing on House Bill 3374. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Are you sure? Don't you want it to pass?
Is that yours too?
Yes.
3374.
Mr. Chair.
Excuse me just a moment. Mazin, do you want to give us the short version?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. 3374 comes to you as an A version, and you have the bill primarily. Establishes a fund that would allow for the counties, the ONC counties, this is the ONC federal program, Oregon, California, Railroad, and the federal support, to go into this program of getting grants through a fund that is established within the Department of Revenue. And in the original bill, which is the A version that you have, the amount that is allocated to the fund is left open. We have a -2 amendment also with that is in front of you, and it's in all us too. And the -2 amendment actually seeds that fund with about $37 million. As you would see at the end of the amendment, and then establishes a criteria for kind of rewarding the counties that go out for votes and get permanent rates for their own new taxing districts, and allowing them for 4 years of a different set on different levels of grants for different purposes. So that's the primary idea of what the bill and the amendment does, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative.
Mr. Chair, colleagues, thank you so much for allowing me to take the time to explain in part this bill to you. I would like to focus on the Dash 2 amendments if we could. And you have a handout that I believe that could be incorporated in the record. I'm not sure. It is of no... It's not lost on anyone that rural Oregon, especially the ONC counties in Oregon, are hurting, mainly because of the lack of the ability to utilize the natural resources that built them, meant to sustain them, and the fact that those resources are no longer being utilized at the levels they were in the past. What has occurred with Measure 5 and 50 is such that there was secure rural schools payments that were coming to these counties that were supplying the needed dollars to fund services to citizens. Those are gone as well. And so when you have counties such as Curry that are 67%, mind you, 1,648 square miles, 67% is federally owned, 22% private timberland, 7% farm, 1% state, only leaves you less than 5% of economically developable, buildable land. And then you put Highway 101 and our land use goals, such as Goal 18, on them. There really isn't the ability to generate the needed revenue to fund services. It's easy to say that these citizens need to just pay more taxes. Of course, they have some of the lowest tax rates in the state, but that isn't truly fair either, considering some of these citizens are desperately hurting because of the lack of the natural resource jobs that currently aren't there. In fact, so much so that...
So why don't you tell us what the bill does?
Sorry.
I do believe that the members here are pretty cognizant of the economic problem, and We're greatly sympathetic of that, but our time and yours are limited, and it would be useful to know what the bill does.
Perfect. Dash 2 amendments incorporated the Dash... Thank you, Chair Barnhart. Dash 2 amendments incorporated the Dash 1s that would offer $150,000 grants to these counties that are willing to consolidate services with other counties and or cities, such as, for an example... If you have a county that has a 911 communications or PSAP and a city within the county that has a PSAP, if they were willing to consolidate those services, grants could be afforded. More importantly, with the Dash 2s, this really sets up a fund to attempt at looking at fixing part of the problem. And that is a public safety service district, similar to what Deschutes County did a few years ago, where you set up a separate district out of the general fund to fund the public safety services in the county. If a county chooses to do that, then this county assistance fund would, in essence, gets a little complicated, but only counties that have less than that 15% on this is Section 1A, where 15% of the total ad valorem property taxes imposed by the county for the property tax beginning year July 1st, 2008 had secure rural schools dollars associated with it. That's the criteria in order to be able to meet the requirements of this bill. As you can see in that handout, you have Douglas, Josephine, Coos, Curry, Jackson, Lee, Columbia, and Klamath and Polk counties are the ones that meet that criteria. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones that are hurting the most and I could give you examples if you ever needed. Now, you have a situation where this bill would allow, if a county, one of these counties, were to impose a public safety service district, the fund would then cover 80% of that cost for the first year, 60 the second, 40 the third, 20 the fourth. So it really eases the increase that would be needed to fund public safety in lieu of the fact that there isn't the SRS revenues to do so.
Okay. And your hope is what? You set up a
good bill should pass
an elaborate mechanism. Now let me ask. Now I'm really asking a different question. What it looks as though you're trying to incentivize action on the part of the local governments
and the citizens of the local.
Yeah, and so could you give us a little bit more about how you think this does that, and what assurance have you gotten some local districts and cities and counties will act on this set of ideas?
Well, the counties, of course, are supportive of the concept because they need to supply public safety services to the citizens. When I was a county commissioner in Curry County, I put forth 4 funding solutions to my citizens, and they all failed. I believe that something like this to incentivize them to do so, they wouldn't, and they would pass. Josephine County is, as you know, they because of their budget cuts, gave pink slips to all their sheriff's deputies. As of May 31st, there will be no sheriff's deputy to respond outside of the city limits of Grants Pass in Josephine County. And county citizens, or excuse me, state citizens are already subsidizing in the realm of the state police that are there providing those services. But even with that, they don't have the situation. I believe that this incentive is such that we will be able to, offer the carrot, so to speak, to allow the discussion to happen. Again, these citizens can't, they're hurting too. You have to understand that 30%, or excuse me, roughly 18% of the assessed valued property in just Curry County is assessed at less than $50,000 because of those are the low income fixed income folks that are living in mobile home parks throughout the county because they can't afford these increases. The good Lord isn't making any new dirt as of yet on the coast, so. What this would do would be soften the blow of the needed increase for the services to be paid. I will tell you that if you put the money, if you pass the bill, create the fund, put the money in the fund, there's sideboards in here that these counties have to do this before 2020 in order to take advantage of it. And if they don't, you can sweep the funds. I mean, you're basically setting up a savings account for these counties to help themselves.
Thank you. Other questions?
That's an interesting idea.
Thank you so much. This is very much appreciated. Oh, excuse me just a moment. Representative Marsh.
Thank you, Chair. So we've been working on this in economic development and other contexts. And I wondered, Rep, if you could just clarify for me with the latest amendment, if we had discussed an amendment that would allow the $150,000 grant to go to counties working with other counties in addition to being issued to counties that are working with cities or special districts.
Yes.
Has that language been changed yet?
That was the direction Chair Barnhart, Representative Marsh. First, I want to thank you for all of your help in really allowing being a soundboard and the discussions, many late nights over this bill over the many months, and your input. It was my direction to LC to make sure the language that was changed so that the $150,000 grant would be part of the, and so yes, I believe it is.
Okay.
Short answer.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony. And we don't have anyone else signed up for this bill, do we? All right. With that, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3374. And got some members here on another bill. 3357? Yeah, we'll open the public hearing on House Bill 3357.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3357 would increase some document recording fees that are collected by county assessors. And so it would double the fees. The fees are currently $20, and they are allocated out to the various types of housing accounts, the general housing account, the homeownership assistance account, as well as the emergency housing account. And those are all administered by the Oregon Housing and Community Services Department. The revenues from the existing recording fee were approximately $14 million in the 2016 fiscal year. And so doubling the fee from 20 to 40 would approximately result in an additional $14 million per year into funding for those different types of accounts.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for coming today.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chairs, members of the committee. I'm Alyssa Kennegeier from House District 46, parts of Southeast and Northeast Portland, and I'm also the Chair of the Human Services and Housing Committee in the House. I'm really honored to be here to talk about an issue and a bill that I'm passionate about. I think that all of you have been hearing about the housing crisis. Whether you're on my committee or not, you can't help but escape it just by driving through the streets of many of our cities hearing the reports of school districts that have so many homeless kids. I know, Representative Hernandez, in your district, 12% of the kids in the Reynolds School District are homeless. And we have heard that in Lincoln City. We've heard from County Commissioner Bill Hall that 20% of the kids in the Lincoln City School District are homeless. That is just shocking. So the program continues to, the problem continues to get worse, and we really only have two dedicated sources of funding, both of which will come before your committee. One is this document recording fee that we're talking about today, and the other is the Oregon Affordable Housing Tax Credit, which is up for its renewal and reconsideration as it is. It's on its six-year cycle, so that happens to be coming up this year, and this is a particularly hard year for it to come up. So very, very concerned about both of these revenue sources for housing, because they're the only ones we have unless we're looking at general funds. General funds, typically the only thing that we've been dedicating in general funds is $5 million for the emergency housing account or emergency housing assistance, which helps people keep up with their rents or pay their first-time deposit or relocation or, you know, to protect them from being homeless. And then the account is very flexible, and it can also be used for SHAP, the State Homeless Assistance Program, for people who have already fallen into homelessness. So these are very, very precious accounts. The doc recording fee is split by statute into three different areas. 10% of it goes to the EHA, the Emergency Housing Assistance or Emergency Housing Account. 14% of it goes to home ownership, and 76% of it goes to supply, which is both preservation as well as new multifamily housing, construction of new multifamily housing. So it doesn't seem like very much, $14 million. To be spread that thin, and in fact it's not very much, but it's very valuable, because it's not like if a project costs, a multifamily project costs, say, $6 million, it's not like this is going to eat up, the 76% going to that is going to eat it up. It's going to be that last little bit of cost once they've put together all of their loans and different grants and things like that. It's often that last maybe $400,000 or $500,000 that is going to allow these projects to go forward. Representative Buehler, when he was on my committee, made some really good comments about, is this money getting out the door quickly? It was not getting out quickly enough. He and Representative Wisnant found that, and they've done a much better job, and our committee has received now reports about all the projects that this is helping fund all across the state. So I'm passionate about the account. It started out, I think, in the year 2009, and somebody who's been here longer than I can correct that, but I believe it was around then, and it was at $15 for the first page on a document recording on any kind of title transfer. And a couple of years ago, we increased it by $5 in order to say in statute that 25% of this fund would go in all three of those areas, designated areas, had to go to serve vets, because we know what a big issue homelessness and is for veterans. So the proposal here is to double it from $20. It went from 15 to 20, and now it would go from 20 to 40. Again, 25% of that. So for the vets, it would go from $5 to $10 of every single recording fee that was collected would go to veterans. So I'll stop there and let my new member of the Human Services and Housing Committee talk about why he is so supportive of this as well.
Thank you, Chair Barnhart, members of the committee. My name is Mark Meek, representative for House District 40, Oregon City and Gladstone, and Jennings Lodge. I have to mention all the different little neighborhoods there. But thank you so much for hearing House Bill 3357 today. I am proud to support this important and exciting bill, both as a representative and a veteran. The affordable housing shortage is not a new issue in Oregon, but rather an existing problem that has only intensified as Oregon climbs out of the 2008 recession. Alarmingly, on any given night in Oregon, there are approximately 13,238 people experiencing homelessness, 1,341 of which are veterans. This is over 10% of our state's entire homeless population are veterans. Oregon's affordable housing crisis is a recognized obstacle to solving homelessness. This bill has emerged as one tool that would double dedicated dollars focused on providing affordable housing assistance specifically to veterans and families of veterans who are experiencing homelessness or at the risk of becoming homeless. House Bill 3357 would make a measurable difference for vulnerable veterans. As a veteran, I know firsthand the process of being discharged from active duty and then the challenges that I and many others have experienced in finding support services for education, health care, and more importantly, housing. I think we all remember Maslow and how important our basic needs are. That is why when we talk about supporting our veterans, we must talk about meeting those basic needs of safety and security, and that means housing. Since 2009, Oregon has seen the number of veterans experiencing homelessness increase by 5%. That makes our state one of the top seven states that saw the largest absolute increase in homeless veterans. Passing this bill will demonstrate the state's commitment to address homelessness among veterans. Thank you, and I urge your I-vote to pass House Bill 3357. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, can I add a couple comments,
please,
too? So I really appreciate my colleague here introducing himself as a vet and bringing so many veterans with him here today. Appreciate their interest in this bill as well. And I also just want to mention that he's a realtor, and we have had a lot of talks about how reasonable is this kind of fee and what are the other avenues that we have for dedicated funding. And as you know, we have a ban in the Constitution as passed by the voters a few years ago on the real estate transfer tax, which is how many cities and other entities raise their taxes. For instance, the big grand bargain that just happened in Seattle. We cannot do that in Oregon. So when I've talked with Representative Meek about, you know, does this seem reasonable compared to a real estate transfer tax, a certain percentage on every transaction, which would be way higher, he has said this $20 represents just, it will not even be really noticeable when you're transferring a big document on a big asset. So I wanted to mention that in case you want to say anything. Just also want to mention something on home ownership, since we've talked a little bit about supply side and the veterans piece of this, as well as the emergency housing account for rental assistance to prevent people from being homeless or to help the homeless. The home ownership is also very, very important. We are among the lowest states in our home ownership rate. We are right at about 61%, which means 39% of people in our state are tenants. And we used to be up around 70%. I think it was even higher than 70%. But we have really gone low. Much of the country went low because of the recession when a lot of people lost homes. But the average right now is 63%. So we're significantly below. And we had a lot of really excellent home ownership bills that came through our committee. And yet there's no dedicated source of funding for it. And so these home ownership dollars are very important in that regard, too. And then thirdly, I want to say one other thing. You may hear concern from the county clerks who may come up and testify that when this arrangement was made several years ago, they did not receive the 5% administrative fee or cut that they normally get in order to keep up their county clerk operations. I believe that giving $20 or $40 to this account doesn't actually add to their workload because they need to record these fees anyway. And then they do a report quarterly to the Department of Revenue, and they disperse all of the funds, and then the Department of Revenue has to give it out to the various places, and that's where they would give the Oregon Housing Community Services their cut. But even though the administrative burden on them is really just being a part of that four times a year transfer, I recognize that this is a missed opportunity for them to do some kind of, you know, help them, like all the most of the other document recording fees do, help carry the load for them. We've not really found a way around that because it looks like the formula is, if you can't change the formula right now because of some of our laws, but there is a possibility, and you'll probably hear from the tax collectors too, that there may be some of the document recording fee that the tax collectors, the county tax collectors, may be paying. We're not sure yet. We're just looking into this. If the county tax collectors are needing to pay this document recording fee because of the lien they put on properties when they're in arrears on property tax, then we would definitely want to exempt that, and that would be one way to help out the counties.
Thank you. Questions for this panel? Thank you very much. Appreciate okay, very you, much your testimony.
Thank you.
We have a bunch of people to be heard today and not a lot of time, so we'll ask people to be concise and direct. Ryan Fisher, Jeff Sargent, Trell Anderson.
Over here. Chair Barnhart, Vice Chair Smith Warner, my name is Ryan Fisher. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today here on House Bill 3357. I'm here today on behalf of the Community Action Partnership of Oregon and the Oregon Housing Authorities. They're both statewide associations that provide services and housing supports to Oregonians in all 36 counties. Representative Kenny Geyer actually gave 90% of my testimony, so I'm going to be very quick here today. I should have just given her my slides. But quickly, here's an overview of the structure. I'm a visual person, so I put these slides together. But these are the three areas that the funding goes to. In housing, we often talk about the continuum of housing needs. And on one end, you have homelessness. On the other end, you have home ownership. Affordable rental housing is in between, and the document recording fee is designed to address that continuum. As Representative Kenny Geyer stated, the document recording fee was initially established in 2009, and then in 2013, an additional $5 was added to the existing $15. And the way that we allocated that is instead of saying that just that $5 was dedicated to veterans, we said moving forward, 25% of the recording fee will be allocated to providing housing supports for veterans. And so this is the last slide, but just to give you sort of a sense of the LRO staff had talked about the last year's collections of the document recording fee. This is the last 2 years combined, and that gives you a sense. The blue is the general purpose allocation, and then the red is specifically for veterans, so you can see how they stack together, but they still are going to those three categories that we talked about. So, you know, I had a few other things, but again, they were covered by Representative Kenny Geyer. So in the name of brevity, I'll stop there, but I'm happy to take any questions if you have them.
Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
Yes, Chair Barnhart, Vice Chair Smith-Warner Committee, thank you for this opportunity. My name is Jeff Sargent, Executive Director of the Yamhill Community Action Partnership. We are one of 18 community action agencies in Oregon and the lead nonprofit in our county partnering with the state to address a number of social service needs, including low-income housing assistance, the regional food bank, energy and utility assistance, and youth services. It's an honor to join you today to talk about how this document recording fee, which you heard is part of the emergency housing account, helps us make a significant difference in the lives of our neighbors in need in Yamhill County. And we are a rural county with just over 100,000 residents. And affordable housing is in just as much of a crisis with us as it is elsewhere in Oregon. I want to quickly share with you what EHA has done for us in the first year of the biennium, what it's doing for us now, and how we've leveraged those funds to show the impact of the document recording fee and that leverage. For the 2015 and 17 biennium, the first year we were allocated just under $71,000 in EHA funds, for which we're extremely grateful. With those, we're able to offer families who are on the verge of losing their homes with an eviction notice a way to keep their homes or to get people who have become homeless back into their homes more quickly, either directly or through one of our three shelters in the county. And that first year, we were able to help 157 households with the assistance of EHA and other funds. The flexibility of the EHA dollars are also very important because it allows us to blend with other funds and extend their impact. Last year, the legislature was generous enough to offer us an additional $172,000 in EHA funds, and with that, we were able to launch a whole new program, which was an entirely new homeless prevention and shelter diversion program. It enabled us to hire two staff members, a housing specialist and a case manager, to execute that. And that enabled us to do two things, which are critical: provide more short-term rental assistance to households who receive eviction notices, and then also make relationships with landlords so they would be more supportive, and many of them actually give us first dibs on their rental availabilities because of those relationships. Last week we had a landlord luncheon, and 35 landlords attended this. Over half of them were new. And so this program has really helped us extend our impact on the individuals in Yamhill County who need assistance. Also, in terms of leverage, last year we applied for a $100,000 Meyer Memorial Trust grant for housing opportunities, also to build on this program. Well, we got that grant. And one of the prime reasons we were told that we did was, one, because of our proven track record of success, and two, because of this new homeless prevention and shelter diversion program with which those EHA dollars allowed us to start. So we couldn't have done that and gotten that additional grant without your generous support. We've heard how dire the situation with affordable housing is throughout the state. And from my perspective, keeping people in their homes or getting them back into stable housing as quickly as possible is the best way to minimize the crisis of homelessness, which of course impacts our other costs of health, social, and law enforcement services. I'll close with a story, if I may. Last year, a young pregnant woman and her partner came to us. They were living in an outdoor shed after losing their housing due to trauma in both families. A relative of the young woman was able to find them an apartment and also a job doing maintenance for the landlord, but they couldn't afford the funds to be able to get the down payment to move in. So we were able to step in and provide those funds, the deposit, in the first months, and the couple was able to move into their home in January. So now they have a stable place for their child to be born into, and they're both working for a better future. So that's just one of the many heartwarming stories that you helped make possible and can continue to help make possible with this document recording fee contributing to EHA. And I'll end with this. My wife and I moved into another house in McMinnville not too long ago. And if I had been asked to pay an additional $20 to the title company to help house the homeless especially homeless veterans, I would have said, where do I sign? So this boost in the fee, I think, will have a minimal impact on consumers, but a huge impact on our ability to help our neighbors in need. And I ask for your support. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chair Barnhart, vice chairs and committee members. My name is Trell Anderson. I grew up in low-income neighborhoods and spent many afternoons in public housing projects. I was fortunate enough that those families would invite me in for dinner, give me a safe place to be until my single-parenting father could pick me up. Luckily, today, I'm here in front of you as the Director of Community Development and Housing for Catholic Charities and the Executive Director of Caritas Housing, which is the affordable housing arm of Catholic Charities. I'm here, of course, to support the increase of the document recording fee. So at Caritas Housing, we're a mission-based organization, and we have a portfolio of nearly 800 units of affordable housing across the state, and our portfolio is growing. In addition to our current portfolio, our current properties in the Portland metro area, we own property in Douglas County. And through a portfolio acquisition of 102 units, we're preserving properties that are currently subsidized but privately owned and at risk of converting to market rate in the communities of Glendale and Rogue River. The current doc fee is used to assist homeless people, to assist new home buyers, to build new housing for veterans, and to, but 76% is used to finance multifamily projects like Rogue River and Glendale. The doc fee is a vital source and for our successful projects because it fills a funding gap in the project's budget. We call sources like this gap funding, and it's identified in the handout I provided in the right-hand column in a forest green, highlighted in a forest green color. So gap funding has two benefits in providing affordable housing opportunities. The first benefit is that it complements so many other funding sources and helps stretch all the subsidies across more projects and across more units across the state. The more funding we have, the more we can build, and the more we can preserve. It's a straightforward impact statement. Since 2009, the doc fee has generated some $79 million. Through the general housing account, where Oregon Housing and Community Services has created a successful and streamlined process to place funding into critical projects. Project sponsors like us have built and preserved more than 4,000 units in 55 cities and towns across Oregon. So simply put, it works. There's no question about that. But perhaps not so straightforward, and the second beneficial impact of the doc fee is seen in the toggle point in our project development budgets, that being the relationship between taking on debt and reducing rents. So I refer to the handout again, and here's how it works. At a high level, when market rate housing is developed, generally speaking, 20% of the project is owner equity and 80% is debt. It's financed, it's a bank loan. The higher the rent, the greater the ability to borrow, the bigger the bank loan. And that's the gist of it with market rate housing. You try to leverage up your rents as high as you can because you want to borrow as much as you can. Well, in affordable housing, it's quite the opposite. It's exactly the opposite. We want to keep rents as low as possible. The more debt on a property, the more we have to charge in rents. So low rents equals a lower amount of bank loan, and the financial gap between equity and loan amount increases. In the Rogue River Glendale project I mentioned previously, speaking generally for illustration, 47% of our project is equity through the low-income housing tax credit program, and only 35% of the project budget is a loan from a bank. That leaves an 18% gap in our sources for the project. So the remainder in filling that gap is a layering effort of all these other funding sources. They come from federal, state, local, private, including funded generated from the doc fee that comes into the general housing account. So in affordable housing, the gist is borrow as little as possible because that helps us keep rents low. Our greatest effort is securing these gap funds. And the more doc fee we have, the more projects we can do, and the deeper our impact in pushing down those rents. So I've been working in this field in Oregon for 22 years, and I believe that the doc fee is one of the most successful, most streamlined, most purposefully allocated, and most important revenue sources we have. With an increase in the doc fee, we're increasing our ability to drive down rents and provide stable housing. With stable housing, we're increasing the opportunity for people to transition from homelessness, the ability for seniors and people with disabilities to live without fear of losing their housing, the ability of our veterans to live in peace, and the ability of our families to support their children to go to school and thrive. I ask for your support. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Questions for this panel? Thank you. We very much appreciate your testimony. Sean Jellians, John Chandler, Douglas Schmidt, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Sean Jellians representing the Oregon Association of Realtors. Always love hearing how successful the document recording fee has been for the state, given we were one of the chief sponsors of the original bill to introduce it in 2009, and we think it's done a lot of good things going forward. We do have concerns with doubling it during the session, but what I wanted to focus more on, Mr. Chair, is sort of some of the misinterpretations of this particular statute and what actually is collected, what isn't collected, where the money goes, where it doesn't go, because we heard a lot of that in the policy committee before. And the recording of these particular documents, which relate only to real property, that's what this particular housing fee applies to. So I think there's a misnomer out there that somehow it's all recordings pay this $20. It's only those documents recorded under 205-130, which relates just to primarily sale documents and mortgage documents, and that's it. So that's important to note on that. In addition, you have to look at ORS 205-320, which is not in the bill itself, and 323, which is in the bill, because there are various fees in both of those provisions for these same documents. Under 320, the county gets $5 per page to record these documents. In addition, in 323, they get another $10. This is the county's, for county assessment and taxation programs. That's 205-323-4B. 5% of that $10 does go to the clerks for administration of this. There's then a $1 surcharge for statewide mapping program under 205-323. There's a $10 surcharge for county surveyors land preservation program under 203-148. So when we look at all these items, we have to take into consideration all the fees that are charged for the recording of this single document. So it gets hit 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different times for the same recording. And the clerks get a share of some of the different fees, but they don't get a share of this one particular fee in there, not to mention the $5 per page that the county gets in addition to that. We've also heard that in order to make this available to the public, that's why there needs to be an additional cut given out of the $20 affordable housing. Under 205-320-1DB, you can charge $375 plus 25 cents a page to make it available to the public. So they can charge that fee to make it available to the public as well. I think that's my very long way, Mr. Chair, of saying we think it's very fair that they don't get a 5% cut of the $20 for affordable housing. We recognize that they were getting a significant cut of this recording of the single document in a number of other places.
They being the clerks.
They being the clerks and the counties.
Thank you. I just want to make sure I've got that right.
Yes. And I know we've talked to the assessors as well. I think they raised a new concern, which we hadn't heard previously, that they actually pay the fee for some of their recordings. I wanted to make sure that the clerks knew, and I did read through the statute. This particular $20 fee only applies to real property. So it's only documents that would affect title to real property. So if they have liens they have to put on for real property, yes, they are, in fact, paying this fee. It wasn't something we ever looked at in 2009 and recognized organized. I think we obviously think when there is a lien attached to real property, it will get satisfied before there's clear title. So they might have to put money out up front, but they will recoup that when the lien is cleared so that the property can transfer. Have I confused you enough, Mr. Chair? All right.
I've got it.
So that is sort of what I wanted to cover more so than the policy side, because I think we've heard a number of concerns out there about who's getting what cut of this and such. As I mentioned, we were one of the original sponsors in a coalition, along with Mr. Chandler to my right, of implementing the document recording fee. We do think it's an important tool for affordable housing. It relatively little actually goes to home ownership from it, even though these are documents on home ownership. The vast majority of it, 76%, goes to rentals, and then 10% to homeless. We recognize sort of the value of the housing continuum and getting people in those bottom steps ultimately would benefit. We've had a broader conversation in the housing committee this session about the housing crisis in general and whether or not there are sufficient revenues to pay for sort of subsidized housing and other programs. And I think one of our concerns, Mr. Chair and committee members, has been the only things we're really looking at is charging current or future homeowners for this problem. If this is truly a societal issue and we truly all care about it, perhaps we should broaden the scope of where money comes from to fund these programs, and it shouldn't just be a document recording fee on people who refinance their house or who are purchasing a house. And I know that I have taken a lot of heat over the years for the voters passing the ban on real estate transfer taxes. That still plays to our exact point, though. If this is a societal issue, it should be broader than just current and future homeowners. With that, Mr. Chair, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Mr. Chandler.
You're next. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, John Chandler, Oregon Home Builders Association. As Mr. Gillian's pointed out, we've had this conversation. Some of you heard it before in the other committee on the House side. Our concern was, as Mr. Gillian's mentioned, in 2009, we were part of a broad coalition along with Realtors and others to bring the document recording fee. Then last session, we imposed a local option real estate transfer tax. It is still a fact, although the state has put more money on the table for affordable housing programs, both homeownership and otherwise, than it had done. When we first did this in 2009, we could say honestly that the only new money for affordable housing had come from the real estate industry with the transfer tax, with the recording fee. Now it's probably more fair to say the vast overwhelming majority of new money has come from the real estate industry. And as a representative of that real estate industry, along with Mr. Gillian's, we would really like to have other folks kick in. This is a societal problem. And to quote my good friend Tim Nesbitt in a different context, but apropos to this, it's the nature of the legislative process, not just this committee by any stretch, but the process generally, to identify problems that are so important that somebody else should pay for them. This is a critical issue. It needs much. $20 is not going to break the real estate industry. It's also not going to do much on this problem. Is it helpful? You bet. Is doubling it even going to be more helpful? Of course. The reality, though, committee members, and I'm speaking particularly to those of you who may sit in another set of committees down the hall behind me, if we are going to start spending money on housing, it can't come simply from transaction of documents, sale of new property, sale of existing property. There has to be a commitment by this body and by the people that lobby in this building to really put our money where our collective mouths are and put more resources into this issue. This bill, for me, is emblematic of that not happening. And so the conversation we've had with Reverend Kenny Geyer and her committee, we've had with leadership on both sides on this topic in particular, has very little to do with this topic per se. It has everything to do with this topic as a surrogate for that much bigger conversation that we keep not quite getting to. We've had some good bills this session on housing policy. We have some not so good bills on housing policy. What we haven't yet seen is a great deal of commitment on the financial side to implementing housing policy, to fulfilling the promises we've made to vulnerable Oregonians for many, many years now. And I'm not mad at any of you individually. I'm not upset with the process. I simply point out that this bill, as a surrogate for that bigger conversation, is one thing. This bill, as a there you go, look at what we've done. I would encourage you to look at it and more broadly.
Thank you very much.
I take questions.
Thank you. The assessors.
Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, Douglas Schmidt, Polk County Assessor, and I'm actually representing the Tax Collectors Association, and I'm an emergency fill-in. The lady who was supposed to be here to testify had oral surgery yesterday and was unable to make it, so I just talked to her a few minutes ago. So the only thing that the tax collectors are asking is to make a small amendment to the bill and to include, if we look at Section 1, Paragraph 5, it's on page 2, line 12, where it says the Department of Revenue is exempt from paying the fee under section subsection 1C, which is the low-income housing fee, to add, after that, Department of Revenue, the county tax collectors. They, when a property is delinquent, they have to file a warrant in order to start the foreclosure process. And so this would exclude them, like the Department of Revenue and the Employment Department, from paying that fee. Now, there is some discussion still yet to happen on this. We discussed this before the committee hearing. So there's still some discussion on what the actual impact is, the cost that
you
it would.
You anticipated my next question.
That would it save? Yeah. And I have some numbers, but after talking with the people next to me, I don't want to give them because they may not be accurate. And since I don't know the tax collection side, I don't want to
Would give you get that to assume?
Yes.
Or have the lady who was
yes.
going to testify?
Yes, I will. So that's the only thing that we are asking from the tax collector side is just to add in that paragraph 5 to the Department of Revenue and county tax collectors are exempt from paying the fee under subsection 1C, which is the And as Representative Kenny Geyer mentioned, we had talked to her about this, and she is supportive of that okay. as a possible solution with some of the clerk's issues.
Thank you very much. We've got a couple of different issues here. Questions for this panel? Representative Smith, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Colleagues, I'm kind of new to this conversation on housing. I have to admit, though, raising it from 20 to 40 is not a huge issue.
I think that's what the testimony's been.
In my view, and professionally and personally, I file many of these every year, at least my office does. And so I don't see that as an outstanding issue. One of the things that I've heard, though, in Eastern Oregon is that these dollars are not getting out. And so I think we've got a structural issue that we need to think about of if we're collecting these dollars, how are we making sure that all of Oregon's benefiting from it? Two other thoughts I have. I'm curious on your folks' comments. If new homeowners or those filing with the county clerks isn't a broad enough group, what would you broaden it to? And then finally, I want to ask or state one last thought. I really agreed with Kenny Geyer, Representative Kenny Geyer, on what additional works are the clerks going to be doing that would merit an additional fee? You're filing the things anyway. Why do you need to get paid more?
Chair Barnhart, Representative Smith, it looks like you're looking at me. And
I don't know. I'm new to the issue. I'm just sharing what's on my mind.
The clerk, that would be an issue that we would have to have the Clerks Association respond to.
I understand that the clerks originally asked for 5% of this fee.
But we haven't heard anything
from them today to suggest that.
And I'm not being argumentative. I just want to know what additional work merits additional 5%.
And if I understood your testimony, what I think I understood you to say is that the tax collector doesn't want to pay the fee. Is that I understand that correctly?
Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, they would like to be exempted from paying the $20 now to be $40
right.
when they file a warrant on delinquent.
Right. And under the current law, they're required to pay the $20.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Does that help at all, Representative Smith?
It does.
That's the tax collectors. The clerks actually collect. Excuse me. So I think
right. And one of the things I think you agreed was that you're going to find out what the impact of that is so that we can understand if we were to adopt that amendment what that does, mm-hmm. Both in terms of savings to the tax collector and also in losses to the fund. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair, if I might, Representative Smith, a couple of comments on your thing. One, where do we broaden it to? Well, we think that the general fund's a pretty good spot. if this is truly a societal issue, to invest in housing.
State income tax, general fund?
Yeah.
That's what I thought you were saying.
Yes. Representative
Smith, as you probably know,
he sits
served on the
very,
Ways and Means Committee.
Very powerful committee that is dealing and we're kind of protective with other of budget dollars. Priorities as well. But if it's truly an issue that we're saying rises to the level of crisis and it impacts all of us, we would make the argument for that. Mr. Chandler and myself, you saw a split between us because he told you there is a real estate transfer tax. What he meant to say was a construction excise tax that we approved last time. He wasn't as supportive as the voters were in prohibiting real estate transfer taxes. So you sort of saw that divide. Representative Smith, the other point that you had, I think it was a very valid criticism about the money not getting out from this fee early on. And we had significant concerns with the department and whether or not, particularly on the down payment assistance program, whether that money was getting out. I think with a change in leadership, they've done a much better job of getting that out. We, for a number of years, as we opposed increasing this, because inevitably the second you put a new fee into statute, it's been tried to be raised every single session since we put it in one form or another on document recording. We really had concerns about the money not getting out there and going. I think that's been rectified, and the department's doing a much better job on that one.
Thank you. I will get to Representative Buehler in just a second. What I'm planning to do, because we have to be back on the floor at 3 o'clock, is to finish the testimony on this hearing. We have three more witnesses. And carry over House Bill 3146 public hearing and the work session on House Bill 2088 until tomorrow. So Representative Buehler, please.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Barnhart. I have a little knowledge of the document recording fee from my time on the Housing Committee the last two sessions. Unfortunately, I'm no longer on the Housing Committee for a variety of reasons. And I do think the assertion that the money is getting out is correct. Representative Wisnett and I spent quite a bit of time over the last year making sure that that occurred. I still, though, have concerns about the geographic equity of the distribution of those dollars around the state. And I would very much like to hear from the agency about their methodology of allocation to counties across Oregon.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Two things. I do apologize for misspeaking. I didn't mean to pull the bandage off an old argument between us and our colleagues in the real world. Construction excise taxes are vastly different than real estate transfer taxes. Separate conversation, probably involving whiskey. And to Representative Smith's point, I was being oblique. It is general fund that just needs to step up on this, absolutely. And I realize that the general fund has spoken for many times over. There you go. If this is important, we ought to use that funding source. And to Representative Buehler's point, I was going to encourage you to check in with the agency. I know that part of the problem they had initially with the 2009 allocation was OHCS, Oregon Housing Community Services, has not historically been a policy type agency. It's been more of a funding agency passing through HUD dollars in particular. So we were asking them to do tricks for which they had no training or the right staffing in place. I think it's been dramatically changed, but in terms of the going forward piece, I certainly don't have their proxy to speak to that, but I think it would be not to tell you how to run your committee, Mr. Chair, but it'd be helpful for this committee to hear what they're thinking of doing with these funds, how they intend to address those concerns about geographic equity and making sure the money goes from where it was generated.
Thank you. Other questions for this panel? Thank you very much, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Finally, Emily Ryman, Allison McIntosh, and Rob Beauvais. And you've heard that I promised the committee we're going to be out of here before 3 o'clock so we can get back to the floor. So gauge that for your time, and you don't need to use it all. It's not required.
Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, my name is Emily Ryman. I'm here today as the executive director of NEDCO, the Neighborhood Economic Development Corporation. We're a nonprofit CDC serving Lane, Marion, and Clackamas counties, and we are, among other things, the homeownership center for Lane and Marion County. I'm here to talk specifically about the 14% of the DOC recording fee that goes to support homeownership activities. That 14% does two primary things. It funds a statewide network of homeownership centers, and to the last conversation, there are homeownership centers serving all 36 counties in the state, so we have a lot of geographic equity in that program. And then the 14% also goes to support down payment assistance funding for first-time buyers. Those two things are about the only resources we have as a state to help low-income, working-class families become homeowners. The homeownership centers around the state provide a range of services, including financial literacy, education, and counseling to help people do the credit building and savings that they need to become first-time buyers. And we also offer education and counseling specifically about making that purchase. How do you get the best mortgage? How do you shop for a house that's going to be affordable over the long term? And then we help match people with products that can help them get into that home. So we're trying to help them access individual development accounts. We're helping them access down payment assistance. NEDCO in Lane and Marion County serves between 300 and 400 families a year who are aspiring first-time home buyers, all of them below 80% of area median income. So these are folks who struggle to buy a home. The unfortunate part about our state right now is that it is incredibly unaffordable to buy a home here. I think we're something like 46th in the nation for the affordability of home ownership. It's why you see our homeownership rates trending downward. And the average median sale price of a house is now more than five times the median income. When my parents bought their first house in the 1970s, the average price of a median home was just a little bit over the median income for a year. And we've seen that distance skyrocket over the last four decades. It means that many working class families are homeownership is just going to be out of reach, which unfortunately means that asset building is out of reach. The ability to pass wealth to the next generation is out of reach. The ability to have housing and financial security in retirement is out of reach. And that's something I'm just not comfortable with. It's why NEDCO does the work it does to try to help those families get into homeownership. The good news is that the doc recording fee and that homeownership assistance program funding helps us provide assistance to homeowners. It's a drop in the bucket compared to the need. So NEDCO serves Lane County and Marion County. Per biennium, we can generally help 12 people with down payment assistance through the funding we get from the doc recording fee across both of those counties every 2 years. We could probably deploy 100 down payment assistance silent seconds if we had access to the resources. So I'm really here today to encourage you to pass HB 3357, double the doc recording fee. I couldn't agree more with the previous panel that we need additional resources to tackle the housing crisis, but it's not an either-or conversation. It's an and both conversation. We need to double the doc recording fee, and we need to talk about other resources. Thank you.
Representative Smith?
Did I hear you say silent second?
Yeah. So for most
a
agencies,
subordinate second.
The down payment assistance is a silent second loan that when the family moves out of the house or refis years later, that gets paid back to the nonprofit, and we're able to recycle it for another family.
You really helped me tremendously. Thank you.
And that it's done without interest.
That is correct. Most of the time. I believe some agencies use a small shared appreciation to recapture a little bit on the sale. But the no payments, no interest accrues over the life of that silent second.
Thank you. I think you helped both Representative Smith and me with the concept. Thank
Great.
You.
Great.
Great. Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, thank you for your time today. My name is Allison McIntosh, and I'm here on behalf of the Oregon Housing Alliance in support of House Bill 3357. I want to actually, rather than tell you what I was going to tell you, take the time to address some of the questions that came up, as I think I can
help
answer
them. Thank you. That would be very helpful.
Yes. So the first is, I think the Housing Alliance absolutely agrees with Mr. Jillians and Mr. Chandler that we need additional resources to solve our housing crisis. I do want to say in 2015, the state committed $40 million of general obligation bonds to help address our affordable housing needs. And that $40 million was recently awarded to and it is going to build about 965 units across the state of Oregon, which is really exciting. Mm-hmm. We're asking for additional general obligation bonds this year. As Co-Chair Johnson and Co-Chair Gomberg know, the Housing Alliance has a number of additional general fund proposals as well, in addition to increasing the document recording fee, which is why we're here today. We have a range of tools and strategies that we can really use to successfully address our housing crisis, but those take resources, and it is definitely a both-and conversation, as Emily said. Second, just a little bit of a history, a lesson. The document recording fee was first brought before this body in 2007 and was passed in 2009 initially. There was an increase for veterans in 2013, and then this is the only other time we've been before this body asking for an increase to the document recording fee. I want to take a second to address Representative Smith and Representative Bueller's questions about the agency's work to get this resource out the door and the geographic equity component. Housing and Community Services has done a great job in the last several years of really making sure that this money is going out the door in a timely fashion. The 10% for homelessness goes directly to community action agencies to be spent as part of the emergency housing account. The homeownership dollars go to homeownership centers all over the state and serve all 36 counties. And the general housing account is also being put to work all across the state. Since inception, the document recording fee has raised about $79 million. The portion of the fee that has gone to build affordable housing developments all over the state, it's built about 4,000 units. And we know the department did have a problem with getting the money out the door, but we really believe they've solved that problem. If you look in my testimony that I submitted, there's actually a link to the website on the department's website where they have spreadsheets that you can download. You can take a look at where the money has come from every county in the state quarter by quarter since inception in 2010. The most recent data, if they don't have March of 2017 data up there, they will soon. They also have three other files up on that same website that go account by account and show where the money has gone since inception. And some of those pages have maps as well, so you can look at the geographic distribution of funds over time. They've done a lot of work to increase the transparency on that, and we're very pleased with the work that they've done. We're also happy to pull any of that together for you, for your districts, and take a look at where those resources have gone over time. But as housing advocates, we are also really concerned that that money serves both rural and urban communities and pay a lot of attention to how that resource is being distributed across the state and in a timely manner. So with that, I will end here. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them and happy to send additional information.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd be very interested in how those dollars were distributed. My understanding is the second portion that you're referring to, none of those have come to Eastern Oregon, okay. And I'd love to be proven wrong.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'd like to see that data.
Absolutely. Yeah. We will follow up.
It would be useful to follow up, and if you could provide that material to the committee administrator, that would be great.
I would love to. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'll be very brief. For the record, Rob Bovet, Legal Counsel Association of Oregon Counties, here today representing AOC as well as the Oregon Association of County Clerks. I'll try to just address some of the issues that have come up here. First, we need to talk about where this fee applies. It applies broadly to all documents recorded that affect titled or interest entitled to real property. So it's a broadly applied fee. I also support, and AOC supports, the assessor's technical amendment to essentially get them out, just like DORs out. It makes perfect sense. Our struggle, it really dates back to 2009. 2009, this fee was enacted, and a very special paragraph was added to an Oregon statute that said, we can't get our normal 5% fee to support the recording system. This is not about additional burdens on the clerks. This is about how do we pay for the very expensive and modernized recording system that everybody relies on, both online and otherwise. The fees we gather, the 5% fees we gather from these recording fees, don't come close to covering our costs. But our point is that each fee needs to pay its proportionate share. In 2009, the legislature denied us that 5%, essentially affecting an unfunded mandate on us. And this bill would just essentially perpetuate that. So we would like you to take this opportunity and fix that, to have this fee, like the other fees, pay for its proportionate share, not to go to county general fund like some of the other fees go, or this special use, or county this, or whatever it happens to be, to actually pay for the recording system itself. And so we have proposed an amendment to do just that. And that's I guess, our point.
Thank you. Is that amendment in? I haven't seen it.
Provided it to your staff, about a week or so ago. I don't know.
But it's not in OLIS.
It's not in OLIS yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And neither is the assessors either. We'll need to,
right,
to work some magic on that, too.
Thank you. Anything else?
No, I see you're running out of time.
Right.
So.
Questions? Thank you very much. And with that, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3357. Paul, did I give a sufficient notice for tomorrow? I did. And that covers everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Thank you. Thank you, colleagues. See you back on the floor. Committee is adjourned.